Today my guest is Doc Norton. Doc, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
What do you do?
I am the CEO of CTO2. It's a process and leadership consultancy out of Chicago.
Excellent. I heard a talk on leadership and just now. In fact, it was an interesting challenge for me because the title was something like Don't Measure Velocity.
Right. Agile metrics, velocity is not the goal.
Velocity is not the goal. And that's interesting because I was a consultant for many years and there were a lot of people that weren't measuring anything.
Right.
And I said, well, we got to measure something here. Let's measure velocity. Velocity is good.
Sure.
But now you're telling me it's not good.
Well, so it's not that it's not good.
Okay.
Right? There's an actual subtle hint in the actual title of the talk, right? Velocity is not the goal. And what I'm actually talking about there is when we take something like velocity, which is a trailing indicator of a complex system, and we set a goal for it, whether we want to or not, whether we like it or not, what we've done is we have changed what that measurement means, which means that we've invalidated the goal that we just set. Hmm. So taking those types of measures and setting goals for them actually, you know, can produce behaviors that we're not looking for. We tend to say that people are gaming the system.
Okay.
The reality of it is that the gaming happens when we set the target in the first place.
All right.
We've then changed the system. The response that we get is the appropriate behavior for the new system you created by setting that goal in the first place.
Hmm.
Then the other piece of the talk is about how, you know, as a trailing indicator, velocity is not a great way to predict what's next.
Okay.
Trailing indicators are good for long-term pattern seeing, but they're not good for short-term, you know, kind of prediction projection.
Okay.
Nor does velocity tell us enough diagnostically about the team to assess why is the velocity highly variable or why are we not getting the results that we're hoping to get. In the rest of the talk, we talk about different metrics that you can measure that help you better understand throughput of the team, what's going on, flow of work, and actually addressing root cause issues that, you know, once addressed can help stabilize the team's throughput, the team's velocity. Now, velocity actually becomes a fairly good metric for us to use. But at the onset, it can be misleading, difficult, etc.
All right, so if I can paraphrase a little bit, measuring velocity does have some value,
mm-hmm.
but relying on it exclusively is dangerous because
right.
it misleads you. It makes you think that maybe you're measuring more than you really are.
Yes.
Okay, so help us out. We should just define velocity, first of all, so we threw that term out there. In the context of software development,
right.
what is velocity?
Right. So velocity in the context of software development, the typical description is some kind of work units over time. And I say work units because some teams measure in hours, some team measures in points, some
right.
team measure in barnyard animals, I don't know, whatever.
yeah,
right?
Features.
And then unit of time is, you know, whatever.
My favorite is lines of code written.
yeah. God.
One it's done. We'll do
yes,
it.
Yes, it is a potential measure. You are correct. And then unit of time is, you know, whatever your iteration length
right.
is or your sprint length is,
yeah.
right?
So the denominator is pretty simple. So people would argue over that the
right.
numerator should be. As long as you're consistent, it's
yeah.
probably okay.
Yeah. And, of course, that's actually speed. It doesn't have a vector, so it's not really a velocity. So I'd say, all right, it is the amount of work we deliver in a given set of time towards value to our customers.
Okay.
Now we have a vector, right?
All right.
So now it's velocity.
Excellent. All right. Bring some physics in here. I
yeah.
like it. So that's not sufficient and potentially misleading, so potentially dangerous. What should we be measuring?
So, you know, I would look at, and oftentimes what I do with teams is, you know, let's look at the actual flow of work through the teams.
Okay.
A really simple way of doing that is to create a cumulative flow diagram. Cumulative flow diagrams, to produce them, pretty straightforward. At the end of every, let's say every stand-up, right? So each day, you're going to take a measure of each of the lanes in your backlog. You're going to sum the number of points or units, whatever they are, and record that in a spreadsheet. And then what you want is a stacked area graph of that over time. And what you should see is the amount of work that's completed is growing over time. How much work is actually in development at any given time, how much work is actually in testing at any given time, and how much work is in the backlog, right? And what it shows us is the flow of work through the team. We can see what our cycle time is, how long it takes the team to actually develop a feature, what our lead time is, which is basically the time from, hey, wouldn't it be nice if, to, hey, ain't that nice, right? From concept to delivery.
Okay.
And that data helps us better understand what's going on in our environment. And with the cumulative flow, you can actually see where are the bottlenecks in your process, and you can hone in on those and fix them.
We're going to take that information and we're going to feed it back and we're going to adjust our behavior based on that? Or
I would say so, yeah. So I usually what we do is we actually work with the teams and help them know how do you actually read a cumulative flow, how do you interpret it, what does it mean to you, right? What's important is not so much what's in there, but is it what you expected, right?
Yes.
Are you getting the results that you expected to get? If you are not, what changes might you make to the way that you're behaving that would get you the results that you ideally want, that you're after, right?
Hmm.
So teaching the teams
results.
How to do this.
What we say results.
All right. So we may look at a team's cycle time is pretty good, but their lead time is really long.
Okay.
So something outside of the actual team is creating delays. So we may want to say, okay, what do we need to look at there? Maybe it's we discover that the amount of time it takes to approve stories is very lengthy.
Okay.
Right? So we know that we can drill into that and figure out what's going on there.
Okay.
Is it that in the one case that I gave in the talk, that actually is the case, that the challenge is approvals are happening slowly, and it turned out that their acting product owner was a traveling salesperson. When we had some conversations and that person had an assigned that was in the office more regularly that could do more consistent approval,
right,
then we were able to smooth out the flow.
I've been in projects like that many, many times.
Right.
We used to call it albatross management.
Yes.
And makes a bunch of decisions and then swoops
back out again. Yes, exactly. Right. It may be something that's more specific to the team. What we may discover is... we may want to look at our work in terms of classes of work, right? So it turns out when we have iterations that have lots of bugs versus iterations that don't have any, the flow looks different. Why is that? We may be able to determine that, bugs have a certain flow, stories have a certain flow, but it helps us understand what's going on and decide if we need to make adjustments or not.
I see. Okay. I noticed that one thing you were measuring was developer joy.
Yes.
I've never been in a place where anybody actually tried to quantify developer joy. Tell
me
about that.
So we've done it through a couple of different means. We've used Corey Haynes has an app that he wrote a while ago called Mercury App.
Okay. I
Mercury
know Corey.
App
he's
does
been
kind
on my
of
show.
He's a great guy. Yep. This does kind of micro survey type stuff. Asks you once a day or several times a day how you feel about a certain thing, right? And it asks you to rate that on a scale of 1 to 5, but you can choose from like a frowny face to a happy face or a sad panda to a happy panda or whatever you want, right? So there's some kind of quantification from an at least an ordinal standpoint, not necessarily.
So you just ask the developers how happy are you?
Yes, right. And that works fairly well. What we've actually found works really well is if you're using Git, adding some porcelain and asking the developers their opinion of the code they just worked on. Zero, so they rate it on a scale from 0 to 5. 0 being, I hate this code, why do I work here? 5 being, we should open source this. Right? So we're not actually asking them how they feel, but the thinking there is that your opinion of the code that you're working in on a daily basis is actually a good proxy for how satisfied are you with your work.
That makes sense.
Right.
All right.
And what we found over time is that team joy can be a leading indicator. You'll actually see where joy goes down, and an iteration or two after that, you start to see quality going down.
Interesting.
Right.
All right. So that's what you use with that.
Yeah.
Is to take measures. It's actually good. This is good for you guys to hear. You managers out there.
Right.
Happy developers are better developers.
Are better developers. Yes. Absolutely.
And not just because they won't quit.
Right. Right. Yeah. No. They're actually doing better quality work.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's two elements there, right? One is that maybe we're not feeling as good about the code because we're noticing the quality is going down. Maybe the quality is going down because we're not feeling as good about the code. I'm not sure which is
which is
the actual cause, which is the effect.
Yeah.
But regardless, once we see that happening,
there's a correlation.
We can actually, it's a good time to have a conversation about, hey, what's going on? What's happening? Maybe we should take a little bit of extra time to tidy this stuff up so that in the next several iterations, we're not creating this we're not creating this like ongoing issue.
Interesting. Yeah, that's I think it was Uncle Bob Martin who said that you can do it fast or you can do it well, but the best way to do it fast is to do it well.
Yes,
and
yes.
And I think that's a paraphrasing of exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and we've actually done, we've done studies now where we've looked at code coverage and code quality compared to velocity and done actual, correlation diagrams. And are seeing, it's not universal. Mm-hmm. I will admit that it's not universal, but we see quite often that higher quality code in terms of lower cyclomatic complexity and code with higher coverage, the teams are consistently able to deliver higher velocity.
Right.
So while at the onset it seems counterintuitive, yeah, the reality is higher quality code with better test coverage does actually result in faster overall.
Certainly in the long run. No,
yes,
question
that's
about
exactly
it. Yeah. Hacking together something without regard to quality is a short-term solution at best.
Right, right.
So when you're going into businesses and you're talking about this, what's the reception? Are people embracing this idea of measuring new things? A couple of them are new to me. They're a little bit radical.
Yeah, so I'm fortunate in that when I go into these organizations, I'm being brought in because they're asking these types of questions.
They want to think outside the box.
Right, exactly. Okay. They want to know, they're looking at it saying, hey, you know what we're doing isn't working for us.
Okay.
And that could be anything from, we just don't feel like we're delivering fast enough, which isn't a problem that I'd necessarily like to help, to solve.
Because right,
I like to solve that problem. It's a misarticulation of what's actually going on.
Okay.
The problem isn't speed of delivery. The problem is what's going on in the system,
okay,
that's resulting in this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But some are a little more savvy and will bring us in and say, hey, we don't feel like our culture is quite what we're looking for. We'd like to, we'd like to maintain a healthy, active culture,
okay,
and still be able to really, deliver at a good rate. So a lot of times when we're brought in, they're asking these kinds of questions. They're much more receptive to these types of ideas. Not always.
Okay.
You will find folks in the organizations who, I've been doing this for 10 years, I have plenty of experience that says that, none of these things are of value.
Sure.
And we just, when
you're working with the people that didn't actually bring you in,
right,
that's a challenge.
Right.
So we're wrapping up on time. What anything else we should have talked about that we haven't yet?
I get excited about a lot of different
things. I'll tell you what. Why don't you come back and we'll talk.
I would love to. I'm working on a series right now with Uncle Bob.
Yeah.
Clean Coders. We're going to be launching a series fairly soon on technical debt.
Okay.
What that actually is and how we actually should manage it, monitor it, mentor it. Manage it and monitor it.
It'll be a video series?
Yeah, it'll be a video series on Clean Coders. So we're scheduling filming right now for late January,
uh-huh,
and then it's usually a couple of weeks of production and whatnot. So
it should be not too long after this.
Yeah, I'm anticipating early March. It should be actually up on Clean Coders.
At cleancoders.com.
Yes, cleancoders.com. Yeah, yeah.
And you have an online presence as well.
I do. I'm Doc on Dev, like everywhere.
Okay.
Just all the things whack Doc on Dev, except for Google Plus. There I'm.
Oh,
Doc,
you still use Google Plus?
There okay. I'm Doc Norton. Well. No, not really.
Okay.
But, yeah. Yeah. So I'm pretty easy to find.
Yeah. Doc, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you. Really appreciate it. I've been in the technology field for close to 30 years now, and over that time, I've had the real fortune to have a number of great mentors and coworkers. It's one of the fields where I feel like technology is a field where the best folks to work with are the folks that really feel like friends.